Only in America. In the drugstore, do you have to, sick people walk all the way to the back, but the healthy people can get suntanning lotion at the front. Only in America do we get double cheeseburgers, fries with Diet Coke. Amen. Amen. Only in America do we leave our cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway, and we leave junk in the carport. Why do we in America, only America, can you get hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns only in packages of 8? Have you figured that one out? Only in America do we have that great restaurant called Cracker Barrel. You don't find it in Russia, I promise you. Amen. You're not going to get it in Nigeria, but only in America. I want to talk to you this morning about our allegiance. And not just the allegiance to our country, which I still think we need to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance with our hands across our heart. But I want to talk to you about the subject of I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. I want you to stand with me and let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and also Revelation chapter 20. I'm preaching this morning. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Revelation chapter. Don't you feel the Lord's presence here this morning? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Amen. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. If you're there, say amen. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. For you were slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, every tongue, and people, and nation. I love that scripture because there's no racism there. Amen. I'm telling you, that's red, yellow, black, and white. There is coming a day, you know, when racism's going to be over, completely over. I think it's more over than people give credit for, but it'll completely be over. If you don't like racism here, get saved. There's coming a place there'll be no racism. Amen. And it won't be in this world. It'll be in that world to come. Amen. And then go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now look at this. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, decapitated for the witness of Jesus. Can you imagine that? Because you stand for Jesus, they physically had their heads cut off. For Jesus and for the word of God, they worship not the beast nor his image, neither receive the mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they live, watch that, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Father, I ask that you would anoint your servant to preach the word of God this morning. Lord, may I decrease, may you increase, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, this text I just read to you, we find a picture of Christians who have endured pain, persecution, and the person of the Antichrist. And the scripture that I read to you in Revelation 20 and 4 says that they paid the ultimate sacrifice by being beheaded for their allegiance to the Lamb. Now, in our first text, we find the gathering of the Christians in the time to come. It is a picture of what it will be when we all are gathering together. And we are all praising God, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, the Lamb of God that has redeemed us from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. Now, the scripture tells us they sung a song. They didn't tell us the title of the song. They didn't tell us the tune of the song. We don't have the medley of the song or the harmony of that song. But I believe the content of the message, what can sum up that song that they are singing. If you'll put that back up, Revelation chapter 9, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation 5 and verse 9. I don't know exactly how that song's going to sound. One day we'll know it. One day we'll hear it. But somewhere, I believe that despite the persecution, despite the pain, despite the person of the Antichrist, despite the cost, I believe this song can be summed up with the song Sister Darnell just sung. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And I believe on this God and Country Day that we need to declare once and for all that no matter what may come, no matter what we face, we need to declare to the world, to the devil, to the politicians, that I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now, we know the pledge of allegiance to America, and I feel like we ought to say the pledge of allegiance often. I pledge allegiance to, say it with me, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United, stand up and say it, stand up and say it. Well, here we go. Let's start all over. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now keep standing and keep your hand over your heart. And can we put the next one up there? I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Let's go to that one. And I want you to say it with all of your strength. Everybody, look up to heaven, and you can see it above my head. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now give Him a hand of praise for that this morning. I pledge allegiance. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to give you three things. First of all, the call. The call. The call. You know, the call to allegiance came to Adam. When Adam had sinned, for the very first human being, and listen, folks, man did not come from Charles Darwin. You talk about racism. The evolution is the most racist, diabolical, hatched from the devil himself. Charles Darwin came up with evolution, and that gave us the idea that there's some races stronger than other races because of evolution. So if you really want to burn some books and take down a statue, somebody needs to take down a statue, if there is one, of Charles Darwin. Because man did not evolve from protoplasm and then frogs and then fish and then, and I'm missing it all up. You know, there's a missing link. Yeah, it's between the ears and it's in the heart. Amen. We didn't come from monkeys. Now, you might be a monkey's uncle, I know, but but I'm telling you, God made Adam and God made Eve. And while we're on the subject this morning, God made a man, a male, with all the plumbing of a male. And He made a female with all the plumbing of a female. And He put them together, and that became the mother and father of the human race. And Adam and Eve, our first mother and father, they sinned against God. That's another sermon for another day. But I want you to know, in the cool of the day, God said, Adam, where are you? I'm telling you, He was calling to Adam, and God is calling to us. He is saying, where are you this morning? Have you pledged allegiance to the Lamb? Or are you pledged to some political party? No, sir. I hear the call this morning. The same call that Adam received. I pledge allegiance. Of course, Adam blamed his wife. You know how that goes. And then the call came to Moses. Moses was called to take the people out of slavery, to take the people out of bondage from Pharaoh. Oh, the call came to Peter, and Jesus looked at Peter. Peter was a rough. Peter was a precursor of a southern redneck. I'm telling you, he was a burly guy, a fisherman, and you just didn't mess with Peter now. But God called Peter and said, Peter, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. I'll tell you, the call is real this morning. He's calling me, and He's calling you to go all in for Jesus. The call came to Martin Luther. See, every church, Christianity took over Europe. Thank the Lord for it. But then it become corrupt, become cold and dead. And Martin Luther stood up and he answered the call. He said, no, the just shall live by faith. And he nailed the 95 feet. He risked his life. It was against the law. The church back then, the false church back then, could arrest you. And listen, we need to realize there is a reason this country was founded. It was for freedom of religion. Now, what they want to say, and listen very carefully, and it's a sleight of hand, they say freedom of worship. Because what they're really trying to say is, oh, you can worship in your own heart like you want to, but they're saying that you don't have a right to assemble, and you don't have a right to publicly say certain things. No, sir, we have a freedom of religion to publicly say, thus saith the Lord, and I pledge allegiance publicly, verbally, locally, nationally. Don't let them take that away from you. Stand up for Jesus. If they outlaw it, I'm still coming. Well, glory. Martin Luther, he said, no, there's a call to live by faith. And he risked his life. He answered the call. John Wesley, he answered the call. John Wesley, the founder of the United, or not the United, but the Methodist Church. The United Methodist, one of the Methodist churches. That's another story for another day. But John Wesley, man, he would preach and stir people up, and they kicked him out of town. They'd run him out of town. But scores of people and entire continents were saved because Wesley preached. I think about my Jonathan Edwards, that great preacher from Massachusetts that preached that powerful message that brought the Great Awakening. Go back and study your history. It was Jonathan Edwards preaching that sermon. Boy, if you preach that sermon today, it'd run people away. But he preached it with fear and love. You can't read the love in there. And he preached it, and bless God, it caused people. He actually read that sermon. He would read that sermon, and people would begin to tremble under conviction. And they got saved, and it caused a great... Don't you know America needs another great awakening? Amen? Jonathan Edwards answered that call, and John Wesley answered that call. My great-grandmother answered that call. She said she saw a little 5-year-old great-grandson sit on the front porch, and he wanted to go to church. And he was in his shorts and t-shirt and hair messed up, and he wasn't ready to go to church. You know, you're supposed to dress up when you go to church. You're supposed to look nice when you go to church. And you ain't ready to go to church, so I'm not going to take you to church. And she saw me crying, and she told the Lord that night to call. God called her to take that grandson to church. She said, I'll promise if he ever wants to go to church, he'll go to church. Thank you, Granny Joyner, because I'm preaching today because you took me to church. My mother didn't take me to church. My daddy didn't take me to church. And I love my mother and I love my daddy. And they're watching. My mother's watching this morning. My daddy's going to heaven. But I want you to know that my grandmother answered that call to be saved, and she answered that call to, folks, you need to get your family in church. You don't need just to come to church and leave your kids and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews and your neighbors. We need to get people in church. People talking about, well, churches are closed. Churches are closed. And with some people, it ain't affecting them because they didn't come to start with. Woo! I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Let me tell you, he came and died on the cross of Calvary. Our true liberty wasn't gained in the sacred room of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our true liberty didn't come when George Washington knelt to pray in the snows at Valley Forge. Our true liberty didn't come when the British surrendered at Yorktown. Our true liberty came on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. And I want you to know the cross is my statue of liberty. And I've answered the call, and he sent me free, and he saved me, and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I answered the call. Did you answer the call? The call to allegiance. Now, here's where I may lose some of you. Number two, the cost of allegiance. Because I want to tell you, you answer the call, it's going to call. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, fear none of those things which you will suffer. Now, I wish Joel Osteen would preach that. Now, I love Joel Osteen, and I listen to some of his messages. Now, dear Father, don't send me a letter about Joel Osteen this way. I understand. I'm not endorsing him, but I'm just telling you, it's not, amen, it's not all positive. Friend, there's some suffering that we're going to have to go through. Amen? Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall receive some tribulations 10 days. But be not faithful, be thou faithful unto death. There's a cost to this at times. Moses answered that call, but he also forsook all the wealth of Egypt. We don't realize this, but Moses was raised in the palace. He had the education, he had the money, he had the looks, he had everything. Cecil B. DeMille penned it when he did the original 1956 Ten Commandments. And he forsook that to go out to the desert and bring the people back. Well, Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon, and a few years later they fired him as the pastor. John Wesley many times was beaten. And Martin Luther risked his life, if it wasn't for a wealthy German aristocrat, a government official. Now listen to this. A government official in what we know as Germany today said, I'm not going to listen to the Pope. I'm going to protect Martin Luther. And I'm telling you, brother, it's important who's in that White House. It's important who's in that senator. It is important. And they do not want us to encourage you to vote according to the... They want to silence our influence over you. And if Martin Luther didn't have a God-fearing politician, we would have never had the Protestant Reformation. We would have never had Plymouth. We'd have never had Jamestown. We'd have never had America. My friend, we have got to know there's a cost to this election. Allegiance. Amen. There's a cost to allegiance. The early church. Listen, when Christians got saved in the early days of Christianity, do you know many of them were persecuted and martyred and killed? And so in the Roman Empire, Caligula and all of those Caesars, the Christians had to worship underground, and that nothing was going to stop them. Man, nothing could stop the church. Amen. They found a place to worship in the catacombs of Rome. And then sometimes they were caught. And so here's how they dealt with it. They would take mom, they would take dad, and they would take the kids, and they would hustle them down to the Colosseum, and they would unleash hungry lions on them. And so mom and dad got to, for the cause of Christ, got to see their children eaten alive by lions. And all they had to do was to deny the Lord and say, we won't go back to church. That's all they had to do. But those men and women said, no, we've answered the call, and we're going to pay the cost. Now, folks, we've lived with pampered Christianity so long here in America. And I know that I told you if we make it through point two, we'll be all right. OK, but my friend, can you watch your child being eaten by a lion? And all you got to do is say, stop, we're not going to serve the Lord. But those Christians answered the call, and they knew that, hey, if they kill my children, if they kill me, that's okay, because he's going to be with us in glory. And we're going to a place called glory. Amen, somebody. In 1915, 600,000 American Christians in Turkey were killed. 600,000 in 1915. They emptied the villages of the men, women, children, and the elderly, and sent them on death marches across the Syrian deserts. The Turks, the Muslims, bayoneted, buried alive, burned, crushed, dehydrated, drowned, raped, stoned, shot, starved, and otherwise tortured victims, and their only crime was that they were Christians. In 1919, the Japanese soldiers took Korean Christians. By the way, people don't realize this, but we think of North Korea, South Korea. You got to understand something. Korea was, and South Korea still is, one of the greatest Christian nations in the Far East. And of course, we lost North Korea. Read your history. Douglas MacArthur was about to take the Korean Peninsula from the communist. He was on his way, and Harry S. Truman said, stop at the 58th parallel, and we're going to let the communists have the North. And from that day to this day, and Douglas MacArthur got fired, and he said there is no substitute for victory. And because of that political decision by that president, and by the way, Harry Truman did do some good things. He recognized the state of Israel. So I understand, I'm not Sebastian Truman. He was a great president, and I've been to his house there in Kansas City, Missouri. But at the same time, I'm just telling you, he made a political decision, and we lost North Korea. And today, do you think you can read your Bible in North Korea and not be shot and starved? And I'm telling you, I am praying for President Trump that before his term ends, that we can open North Korea back up to the gospel, and to have to sit down with Kim Jong-un and to open his heart, because people are starving for the Lord. They need to be saved. They need the gospel. And we're trying to send missionaries there. Your global outreach offering is making a difference. But there is a cost to allegiance. Amen. There's martyrs today. There's a magazine called The Voice of the Martyrs. You ought to subscribe to it. I get it. And I read about right now. I'm not talking about 1915. I'm not talking about the early church. I'm talking about in the world now. In certain parts of the world, when I pastored down at Kinston, I pastored there 5 years at the West Road Pentecostal Owners Church. It's now Briary Run Pentecostal Owners Church. And I had a lady on staff. She was my youth pastor, and she went every year to Kyrgyzstan. And she led she went with Ann Baines. Some of you know Ann Baines. And she told us, she came back 1 year, this is about 10 years ago, they came back and they had led a man to the Lord in Kyrgyzstan. And not long after they led him to the Lord, his friends turned on him and murdered him, because he gave his life to the Lord. Oh, my friend, there's people that's laid down their lives. They're all. But boy, what about us today? Oh, American Christians. Oh, hard to get American Christians. Half in the world, half in the church. Oh, my goodness. But friend, I'm here to tell you, there is a cost to it. There is a cost to there's a lot of Christians that are, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm just going to tell you. Y'all pray for me right now. Amen. But let me tell you something. Have you counted the cost? Are you going all the way for the Lord? We can't be half in and half out. We can't be doing the things of the world and talking like the world, looking like the world, acting like the world. We got to come out from among the world and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive. You know, there's a thing called holiness. There's a thing called a cost. There is a cost to Pentecost. Amen. We've got Christians who never witness, never give, social drinking. Oh, my goodness. There's just other things here. I just know I'm going to get in it. So let's just leave it at that. Go all out for Jesus. Amen. I pledge allegiance. Teenagers, go all out for Jesus. I know there, some of them are listening to the service this morning. Keep your sexual purity. Deny your temptations. My goodness, go all out. Parents, all of us, let's have our family in the house of the Lord. Let them be firmly rooted. And yes, if it costs something, if we are fed to the lions, so be it. If they decapitate us, so be it. This world is not our home. We are called to allegiance. Amen. 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 There's a book called The Incredible Power of Kingdom Authority written by Adrian Rogers. He talked about Joseph Son, who was a Romanian pastor, and he was under the cruel communist rule. And Adrian Rogers asked Dr. Son for his perception of American Christianity. And Son's answer is surprising. He said, "Well, Adrian, since you've asked me, I'll tell you, the key word in American Christianity is commitment. Rather than being a positive thing," he said, "it is an adequate replacement of our older Christian teaching called surrender." Everybody say the word surrender. He said, "Son described the difference. When you make a commitment, you're still in control. No matter how noble the thing you commit to, you can commit to pray, commit to study the Bible, commit to give money, or to commit to automobile payments, or commit to lose weight. Whatever he chooses to do, he commits to. But surrender is different. If someone holds a gun and asks you to lift your hands in the air as a token of surrender, you don't tell that person who's holding a gun to your head what you're committed to. You simply surrender and do as you're told. Americans love commitment because they are still in control. The key word is surrender. We are to be, this is his words, we are to be slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to surrender to the Lord. And I talked about persecution in Asia, and I've talked about it in Korea, and I've talked about it in the early church. But let me tell you something about this cost. Persecution is coming, and it's coming fast. And it's right on the door. So you got to go ahead and, are you going to go in? Are you going to be all the way with this? Come on now. You got, there's a cost. I know he loves us and I know he died for our sins, but we must be willing because we love him to pay the cost. The Supreme Court under Chief Justice Roberts, just ruled a landmark decision just a few weeks ago that basically says, and it's going to happen to churches, that if you, Westmoreland Church, if a person applies to work here to be maybe the housekeeper or whatever, and we say no because you live a certain lifestyle that we feel like is not for good for you and it's not a reflection of our beliefs, then we can be shut down. That ruling just came a few weeks ago. And, you know, all this defunding the police, it's starting now. It's starting because they're, and I understand, now listen, what police officers do wrong, and when they persecute people of color, I'm against that. And I believe every last person here is against that. And there's no place for that. Our police officers need to be careful how they treat even those who do wrong. I believe, I'm for that. But now they're like, no. So this was wrong. So we need to reimagine police. So reimagine police. So what are we going to do? So instead of enforcing against, thievery and thuggery and rape and murder and pillage, now they're going to be more listening to what you say, to the intent of what you say. They're going to be thought police. And if you say certain things and if you agree to certain things, if you say that a certain thing is a sin, you're under arrest, brother. It's like the Gestapo. Somebody's going to be over your shoulder. They're not going to be dressed up like a policeman. They're going to be reimagined policemen. And they're going to hear you talk with your friend about how God wants to redeem and save certain people of a certain lifestyle. And because of that, they're going to report you. And you're going to have to report to an office and explain to yourself. And then your rights are going to be taken away. And your churches are going to be closed. And some of you are looking at me and yawning. Well, I'm here to tell you, the cost is coming. We're here. We're here at it. Oh, I know. Did you know that churches in California, which are led by a certain political party, of which I will not call the name. My pastor's bold, but I'm not quite that bold yet. But I'm getting there. But I want you to know that they issued a decree this week, that you cannot sing in a church service. Now, that wouldn't bother me. I could understand the sincerity of it if just a week earlier all the protesters were singing and chanting, and they were fine. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't care if you sing. They don't care if you speak as long as you're saying things they agree with. But no, sir, they know if we sing, we're going to sing the blood. They know if we sing, we're going to sing about Jesus. They know if we sing and that's what they don't want. Persecution is coming. Defunding the police. In fact, just a few days ago, now listen to me very carefully. And this ought to tell us, this ought to wake us up. But a mob of people broke the gate of a wealthy attorney in another state. Broke the gate. He had a gate in front of his driveway, and he was wealthy. He had a nice, beautiful home. They were screaming, they were chanting, and they were rushing to his house. And him and his wife were just sitting there having supper. He pulls out a gun and he doesn't point it at them, but he lets them know under no uncertain terms, you cross the threshold, I'm here to protect my family. I'm here to protect my property. However, the DA of that county got on TV and said she's going to investigate him for having the gun. I'm telling you, folks, we're headed to some tough times. We're headed to some tough times. We have better count the cost. Amen. And just for the record, because I know some of y'all listen to all kinds of voices, some of y'all listen to all kinds of stuff, but just for the record, we as Christians, if Brother James gets mad at me and slugs me across the cheek, And he, bless his heart, I know he's probably been tempted to do it a few times, but if he hits me across the cheek, you know what the Bible says I'm to do? I'm turn the other cheek. And let's say he hits me across the cheek the second time. There's no other cheeks to turn then. So when he comes for that third time, we're in it. Amen. And I'm in it to win it. Glory to God. The principle of not retaliating personally is being a Christian. When somebody does me wrong on the job, like I had a little fella that he would always come over in my department and steal my sales. He just marched right over there and steal the sale. Now, we don't make commission, but we do have certain sales quotes. And I got so mad at him, and I was about to tell him off, yes, your sanctified associate pastor. Yes. Yes, I was about to let him have a piece of my mind and say, how dare you come over here and steal my sales and tell him exactly what I thought. But you know what? Something came up inside of me and said, no, the Lord will take care of you, and he has a soul, and you forgive him. And not long after that, I outdid him in sales anyway. God's good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now that is turning the other cheek. That is accepting personal insult, personal misjustice. I'm not going to bring revenge. However, now my wife and Miss Haley over here, who is one of my many adopted little kids. And let's just say that Darnell and Miss Haley is sitting in my living room and a mob comes around my house. Now, if it's just me by myself, I'd go out there and say, have at it. Slap me, kick me, shoot me. I'm just going to see Jesus. But it ain't just me. I have two precious people, and I have an obligation to protect the defenseless. That's why if you come around my house marching and protesting and about to break in, I've got a 38. Hallelujah. It's shiny and it's loaded. Hallelujah. And if you break that threshold, I'm going to shoot first, and then I'm going to lead you to the Lord while you're dying. But I promise you, I'm going to. When a man stands up and defends his property and defends his family, he is doing justice. God said you are to defend the defenseless. God said you're not to let a mob take over and rape and hurt your family. If you can't. Now, I know there comes times when the government will arrest us and we have no power of defense. Then we just have to fall into their hands. But before they get my family, brother, I'm going to put up a good fight because there is a cost to allegiance, and we need to realize that persecution is coming, and we need to pray and we need to be ready. Somebody say amen. The call to allegiance, the cost of allegiance. Persecution is here. And then finally, the coronation of allegiance. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 again, and I'm about to close. It says, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you will be tried, and you'll have tribulation. By the way, I like this scripture. He told him, he said, you're going to have trouble for how long? Now, our trouble may be 100 days. Our trouble may be 10 years. I don't know. But I love the fact that he said, hey, the next 10 days are not going to be easy. They're going to hurt you and they're going to harm you. But how many of you know with 10 little days compared to all eternity is nothing? And look, if you're persecuted for 50 days, if you're persecuted for 5 years, if you're persecuted in the grave, bless God, that's in this world, because he said, be thou faithful unto death, even if we have to die. Are you willing to die? If you're not willing to die for your faith, then you certainly can't live your faith. But if you'll be faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. Look at what the Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy 4. This is where we need. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not to me only, but all that answer the call to a, somebody say glory. It's going to be worth it. Teenagers, it'll be worth it when you keep your purity. Moms and dads, it's worth it when you stay in your marriage and work through the problems and not split up if at all possible. I'm telling you, it's worth it when you sacrifice your finances to tithe when you could get an Apple Watch or the latest technology. Amen. It'll be worth it when you put God first and you suffer for it. It is worth it when you say no to temptation. Because I'll tell you, when you say, oh, God's got a plan for your life there. He's got a plan for your life here. I want you to know that we don't have to wait to heaven for God to bless us for our allegiance. He blesses me every day. Every time I put my foot on the ground and walk on my 2 feet, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. When I drive over to the work, I'm blessed. When I walk into the church, I'm blessed. He's already blessed me enough. He's given me His Spirit. He's given me His favor. I said, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Is anybody going to pledge allegiance to the Lamb? We pledge allegiance when we sing. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb when we worship. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb when we tithe. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb when we tell people about Jesus. When we pledge allegiance to the Lamb when we invite people to church. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb in that voting booth. When we prayerfully, carefully research and say this is the candidate that will best represent the kingdom of God. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb when our Bibles are dusted off and we read the Scriptures daily. We pledge allegiance to the Lamb when we fast, when we obey, when we live a holy lifestyle. I pledge allegiance. Put that back up there, please. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my heart and with all I am. I will with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. Say it with me. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Is it worth it? Is there going to be a crown? Oh, yes, there is. Can you say amen this morning? As I close, we should pledge allegiance to the Lamb because the Lamb has pledged allegiance to us. When He died on that cross, do you know the cross is our Statue of Liberty? You know, the French gave us the Statue of Liberty. It was a gift to the United States in the 1880s. But God gave us another statue before the foundations of the world. He grew a tree. How can I not give my utter allegiance, even unto death, to a God that died for me? Would you stand with me this morning? Are you really? You might want to rethink this. Well, preacher, I thought if I got saved, I would have plenty of money and everything would be good and there would be no problems. Let me tell you something. He took our pain. He took our shame on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I'll cherish that old cross. I don't know the words, I'm making them up. Dearest and best. For a world of lost sinners. Come on, Brother Ray. Lift your hands. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You know, churches several years ago went through this little mode. We don't need to sing about the cross. We don't need to sing about the blood. We need to sing happy songs and uplifting songs. But my friend, I don't know about you, but when I think about that old rugged cross and the suffering and the shame that He did for me, I can't help but say I love you, Jesus. I pledge my allegiance to you, Lord. Even unto death, even unto discomfort, I give my all to you. And so I'll cherish. Come on, lift your hands.
Your rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to your rugged cross.
Know the Lord this morning, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I hear your call to me this morning. I answer the call to allegiance. Forgive me of my sins. Maybe you've strayed away from the Lord. Maybe you've gotten lukewarm in your Christianity, but give him everything. Repent. Turn totally. Oh, ask him to come back fully. Let the fire burn again and be willing to count every cost, any cost. If you have to break up with a boyfriend, if you have to give up a job, at whatever the cost, say, Lord, I am yours. I pledge allegiance to you because you pledged allegiance to me, and you have good things in store here and in eternity. And if in this world I have trouble, I know in the next world I'll be free. So I'll cherish
your rugged cross. My trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged
cross. Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, and exchange it someday for a crown.
I want you to put your hand over your heart this morning. And Sister Darnell or whoever's back there, if you can pull up, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb one more time. She's going to have to get over to the other screen. Let's say it as we are getting ready to leave. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Last line. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. One more time. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. God bless you and give the Lord a hand of praise.
Praise God.
Before you leave this morning, I just want to say thank you for being here. What a beautiful spirit today. And I know Pastor Jerry's going to hear some good reports from today. I know that he'll be glad to hear from you. God bless you. We're going to dismiss row by row. The ushers are going to come. I guess we're going to do the front rows first.